Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of 1 Chronicles today. So after the first five books of the Bible, you have Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1 Chronicles. We will be reading 1 Chronicles chapters 10 through 14, taking some devotional pauses, thinking about some application near the end, and then closing in prayer. Father, thanks for your word, and as we go through these chapters in this historical book, Lord, help us to understand what's going on and also how this helps us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Chronicles 10. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them, and many fell dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines were in hot pursuit of Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him. Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and abuse me." But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do it, so Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died. So Saul and his three sons died, and all his house died together. When all the Israelites in the valley saw that the army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died, they abandoned their towns and fled, and the Philistines came and occupied them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim news among their idols and their people. They put his armor in the temple of their gods and hung up his head in the temple of Dagon. When all the inhabitants of Jabesh, Gilead, heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their valiant men went and took the bodies of Saul and his sons and brought them to Jabesh. Then they buried their bones under the great tree in Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days. Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord, and even consulted a medium for guidance, and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. That's the end of chapter 10. So all of that time, all those things that happened, God wanted it recorded that he died at that time because of his unfaithfulness to him. Chapter 11. All Israel came together to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, even while Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord your God said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, he made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, as the Lord had promised through Samuel. David and all the Israelites marched to Jerusalem, that is Jebus. The Jebusites who lived there said to David, 'You will not get in here.' Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. David had said, 'Whoever leads the attack on the Jebusites will become commander-in-chief.' Joab, son of Zeruiah, went up first, and so he received the command. David then took up residence in the fortress, and so it was called the City of David. He built up the city around it from the terraces to the surrounding wall, while Joab restored the rest of the city. And David became more and more powerful because the Lord Almighty was with him." And that's the key. The Lord Almighty was with him. Verse 10. "These were the chiefs of David's mighty warriors. They, together with all Israel, gave the king's ship strong support to extend it over the whole land as the Lord had promised. This is the list of David's mighty warriors. Jashobeam, a Hechmonite, was chief of the officers. He raised his spear against 300 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ohite, one of the three mighty warriors. He was with David at Pasadunum when the Philistines gathered there for battle. At a place where there was a field full of barley, the troops fled from the Philistines, but they took their stand in the middle of the field. They defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. 3 of the 30 chiefs came down to David to the rock at the cave of Adullam, while the band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, 'Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem.' So the 3 broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out to the Lord. 'God forbid that I should do this,' he said. 'Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives?' Because they risked their lives to bring it back, David would not drink it." Okay, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But anyway, such were the exploits of the 3 mighty warriors. Verse 20, Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed, and so he became as famous as the three. He was doubly honored above the three and became their commander, even though he was not included among them. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. That's a good book, by the way, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day by Mark Batterson. Verse 23, and he struck down an Egyptian who was 5 cubits tall. Although the Egyptian had a spear like a weaver's rod in his hand, Benaiah went against him with the club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He, too, was as famous as the three mighty warriors. He was held in great honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard. The mighty warriors were Eshiel, the brother of Joab, Elihan, son of Dodo from Bethlehem, Shamoth the Horahite, Helez the Pelonite, Ira, son of Ikesh from Tekoa, Abiezer from Anathoth, Sipakai from Hushanite, Eli the Hoahite, Mahari the Nephthathite, Heled, son of Bana, the Netophathite, Ithai, son of Ribai from Gibeon Benjamin, Benaiah the Pirathonite, Hurai from the ravines of Gaish, Abiel the Harbathite, Asmavath the Baharumite, Elabah the Shalbanite, the sons of Hashem, the Gizanite, Jonathan, son of Shagi, the Harite, Haham, son of Sakar, the Harahite, Eliphal, son of Hefer, the Mecharathite, Ahijah, the Pelonite, Hezro, the Carmelite, Nare, son of Esbai, Joel, the brother of Nathan. Thanks for having a name like Joel. Midbar, son of Hagri, Zelek the Ammonite, Nahari the Berathite, the armor-bearer of Joab, son of Zariah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite, Zabad, son of Eli, Adina, son of Sheza the Reubenite, who was the chief of the Reubenites and the 30 with him, Hanan, son of Makah, the Joshaphat the Mithonite, Uzziah the Ashtarothite, Shammah and Jael, the sons of Hothim, the Ararite, Jediel, son of Shimri, his brother, Joah, the Tizzite, Eliel, the Maavite, Jerubai, and Jehavaziah, the sons of Elnaam, Ithma, the Moabite, Eliel, Obed, and Jaziel, the Mozabite. Chapter 12. These were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was banished from the presence of Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who helped him in battle. They were armed with bows and were able to shoot arrows or to sling stones right-handed or left-handed. They were relatives of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. Ahaziah, their chief, and Joash, the sons of Shemai the Gibbethite, Jeziel and Peliel, the sons of Asmaveth, Barakah, Jehu the Anathothite, and Ishmaiah the Gibeonite, a mighty warrior among the 30, who was a leader of the 30, Jeremiah, Jehaziel, Johanan, Jozabad, the Getharite, Eluzai, Jeremoth, Beliah, Shemariah, and Shephatiah the Haruthite, Elkanah, Ishiah, Ezrael, Jozer, and Jeshubim, the Korathites, and Jolah, and Zebediah, the sons of Jeroham from Gedar. Some Gadites defected to David at his stronghold in the wilderness. They were brave warriors, ready for battle and able to handle the shield and spear. Their faces were the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. Ezer was the chief, Obadiah the second in command, Eliab the third, Mishmanah the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth, Eliel the seventh, Johanan the eighth, Elzbad the ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, and Machbanah the 11th. These Gadites were army commanders. At least the least was a match for 100, and the greatest for 1,000. That's amazing. It was they who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it was overflowing all its banks, and they put to flight everyone living in the valleys to the east and to the west. Other Benjamites and some men from Judah also came to David in his stronghold. David went out to meet them and said to them, "If you've come to me in peace to help me, I'm ready for you to join me. But if you come to betray me to my enemies when my hands are free from violence, may the God of our ancestors see it and judge you. Then the Spirit came on Amasai, chief of the 30, and he said, We are yours, David. We are with you, son of Jesse. Success, success to you, and success to those who help you, for your God will help you. So David received them and made them leaders of his raiding bands. Some of the tribe of Manasseh defected to David when he went with the Philistines to fight against Saul. He and his men did not help the Philistines because after consultation, the ruler sent him away. They said, It will cost us our heads if he deserts to his master Saul. When David went to Ziklag, these were the men of Manasseh who defected to him. Adnah, Jozabed, Jadiel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zilthai, leaders of units of 1,000 in Manasseh. They helped David against raiding bands, for all of them were brave warriors, and they were commanders in his army. Day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army like the army of God. These are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him as the Lord had said. From Judah, carrying shield and spears, 6,800 armed for battle. From Simeon, warriors ready for battle, 7,100. From Levi, 4,600, including Jehoiada, leader of the family of Aaron, with 3,700 men. And Zadok, a brave young warrior with 22 officers from his family. From Benjamin, Saul's tribe, 3,000, most of whom had remained loyal to Saul's house until then. From Ephraim, brave warriors, famous in their own clan, 20,800. From half the tribe of Manasseh, designated by name to come and make David king, 18,000. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs, with all their relatives under their command. From Zebulun, experienced warriors, prepared for battle with every type of weapon to help David with undivided loyalty, 50,000. From Naphtali, 1,000 officers, together with 37,000 men carrying shields and spears. From Dan, ready for battle, 28,600. From Asher, experienced soldiers prepared for battle, 40,000. And from the east of Jordan, from Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, armed with every type of weapon, 120,000. All these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron, fully determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also one of mind to make David king. The men spent 3 days there with David, eating and drinking, for their families had supplied provisions for them. Also their neighbors from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali came bringing food on donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig cakes, raisin cakes, wine, olive oil, cattle, and sheep, for there was joy in Israel. Chapter 13. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, If it seems good to you, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our people throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands, to come and join us. Let us bring the ark of God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul. The whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. So David assembled all Israel from Shihor River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim. David and all Israel went to Bala of Judah, Kiriath-Jearim, to bring up there the Ark of God of the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim, the Ark that is called by the name. Okay, so this is the Ark of the Covenant that traveled with Israel through the wilderness to the Promised Land and was supposed to be a part of Israel with them. It was the presence of God with them, and so it was a very important thing. Verse 7, they moved the Ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God with songs and with harps, lyres, timbrels, cymbals, cymbals, and trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the Ark because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand on the Ark. So he died there before God. We'll come back to that later. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day and asked, How can I ever bring... All right, I'm having page-turning troubles here. Here we go. How can I ever bring the Ark of God to me? He did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. Chapter 14. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David along with cedar logs, stone masons, and carpenters to build a place for him. And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that his kingdom had been highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. In Jerusalem, David took more wives and became the father of more sons and daughters. These are the names of the children born to him: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Eliphat, Noga, Nepheg, Jephiah, Elishama, Belida, and Eliphat. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him, but David heard about it and went out to meet them. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, and I will deliver them into your hands." So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. Once more the Philistines raided the valley. So David inquired of God again, and God answered him, "Do not go directly after them, but circle around them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made all the nations fear him. That's the end of chapter 14 and the end of our reading for today. Very interesting stories, along with a lot of the names that were given as God blessed David as he took over from Saul, and all of these men who were fighting for him and the victories that were there. What is it that stuck out to you? I think definitely the story that really caught my attention is 1 Chronicles 13, the transportation of the ark, the presence of God. It doesn't tell us here, but you can find earlier in the law that there were rules set up for how you transport the ark. It really started with Israel and David himself, who was transporting the ark in a wrong way. They were supposed to be carrying it, not putting it on a cart. No one was to touch it, ever, except for the priest in certain situations. Poles were to transport it. So they were going against those rules. And then you have poor Uzzah, who seemingly, you know, with good intent, puts out his hands to study the ark. But what this reminds me of is God in his presence, wanted things done a certain way. And when we take things into our own hands, we don't know what the consequences are going to be. Typically, when we sin, we do not fall dead. But God did that sometimes in the Old Testament to show how serious he was about his holiness and about doing things the way he has asked them to be done. And it's a reminder to me today that God is still holy. God wants me to follow his word. When I don't, I need to confess. When I don't, there will be some consequences. But my heart needs to be all about honoring God in every aspect and encouraging others to do the same, not putting my family and others in a bad spot where they don't understand what God is asking them to do. So that's what I'm taking away from this. But there may be something else that God has put on your heart to apply to your life today. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you are holy, and you always do what is right. I'm amazed by these stories, Father, of those who were willing to lay down their lives for the leaders, for David, that you gave them. And Lord, I'm so thankful that your presence is no longer in the Ark of the Covenant, but it is inside of me. Lord, help me to honor you, to be separated for you, and that you would be pleased with my life today. In Jesus' name, amen.